Welcome to a Soulful Rebellion podcast. This is your host, Anika Nicole. I'm a certified spiritual life coach. This show is here to help you overcome toxic religious beliefs so that you can live a life in alignment with your authentic self. I coach people who are going through a spiritual awakening journey by helping them move past limiting beliefs, affirm their true identity, and walk according to their divine calling. If all that resonates, then this show is created especially for you. Welcome back again. It's your host, Anika Nicole here. If you were around or you listened to the previous podcast, you already know that I started picking back up after a period of being sick because I'm trying to make up for lost times. I'm trying to knock a few podcasts out in one day. It's still a pretty rainy day. Still might hear some pitter-patter in the background. Now it's picking up. It's getting pretty loud. Hopefully it's just offering a soothing and comforting sound in the background as you tune into the podcast today. And one more thing, I always forget to mention that I am a spiritual life coach, but you can always book a call to work with me. Right now, I'm doing free consults. I used to call them clarity calls. And I think because I was calling them clarity calls, people had major misconception about what the call was about. So now I shifted over to calling them a free consult. The purpose of a free consult is just for us to decide whether or not we're a good fit with working together. So of course, I listen to you wholeheartedly, hear all your concerns and your goals and what you wish to work on, and I offer you some helpful tips and some support on the free consult as well, so that you can get a feel for who I am, how my style, how I work with you, and to help you decide whether or not we are a good fit to work with each other. If you're interested in working with me as a spiritual life coach, you can go to asoulfulrebellion.com/free consult. For today's episode, I want to talk about overcoming self-doubt for spiritual growth. The reason why I wanted to discuss this here on this episode or in this podcast today is because every time I ask someone the question, what's holding them back on their spiritual journey, or what is it that they would like to work on as a goal for their spiritual growth or spiritual journey, self-doubt, confidence, and having encouragement in themselves is often something that comes up. So for today's episode, I want to get into what you can do to help work your way through self-doubt. First, I want to talk about the roots of self-doubt and where it comes from. Firstly, self-doubt is anytime you lack confidence in yourself, who you are, or your abilities. Of course, there are many areas and places in our lives where self-doubt comes from, such as our upbringings, culture, and communities. Oftentimes, it instills in us a lack of confidence, whether directly or indirectly, which impacts our spiritual growth and our own personal evolution. So understanding how to overcome self-doubt is important for trusting your innate ability to make your own choices, follow your intuition, and recognize when the spirit or when spirit is speaking to you. The problem I see is people seeking external validation rather than trusting their own self-judgment. This reliance on external validation, I would say over-reliance, right? Because seeking support from others is not a bad thing, but this over-reliance on external validation can hinder your spiritual growth, especially in communities where seeking guidance from a spiritual leader is prioritized over trusting your own inner wisdom. So again, the problem isn't that we have to, or that we feel a need to go to others for support when we're making important decisions in our lives. It's the over-reliance and excessive lack of trust in yourself to make even the simple, basic, everyday choices that can perpetuate self-doubt and undermine your own spiritual development. And this is when it becomes important to recognize and challenge any toxic beliefs or even practices that contribute to self-doubt, particularly those that become ingrained in your theology or your perspective. By cultivating self-confidence and trusting your inner wisdom, you can foster spiritual growth and evolve beyond the limitations of self-doubt. Again, why do we experience self-doubt? I kind of touched on this already, but I'm going to answer this question a little bit more deeply here. Societal expectations. Societal norms is one reason why we experience self-doubt, because our society dictates how we should behave, what successes we should strive for, and when we should meet certain milestones in our lives, and what standards we should hold for ourselves. It prescribes certain behaviors to being a woman, and it prescribes certain behaviors to being a man. And when we measure ourselves against these expectations and norms, then we can feel like we're falling short. It can lead to self-doubt. So, for example, it's a societal expectation that we should have aspirations to go to college, earn a degree, and get a high-paying job, or what we consider a prestigious job in our society, like becoming a doctor or lawyer or engineer. So if you feel like in life you haven't met that expectation, or if you strongly evaluate yourself in life on whether or not you met that expectation, it can lead to feelings of inadequacy or shame, but it also can lead to self-doubt. So, for example, if you have aspirations outside of wanting to go to college or outside of pursuing prestigious career, then you can doubt the career that you would rather have chosen because that's what you're most passionate about. So self-doubt can also come from our cultural conditioning. Our cultural conditioning significantly influences how we experience self-doubt. So religion, for example, shapes what we define as our moral values, which is often imparted by our spiritual communities, our families. It shapes our perception of what's wrong or right. It dictates what actions we should take. One common source, it has to do with our self-identity. Particularly, for example, if you identify yourself as being a part of the LGBTQIA community, that's something that you've been battling with all your life. You can suppress it because if your religion or your spirituality is telling you that that is wrong, then you will see that as immoral, and then you will have doubt within your identity. If you're growing up in a culture where this is not right, it can cause internal conflict and cause you to have doubt in your orientation or realizing that this diverges from the expectations that your culture has put upon you. And that, you know, exists within the larger cultural context of, you know, living within the United States as well, not just you, maybe your immediate culture. So another example is gender roles again. This can induce self-doubt. For instance, the belief that a woman must desire marriage and children can create internal conflict for those who don't align with these expectations. Which I also, by the way, have a story to share about that. So, you know, being a woman and being married and being in a relationship, I remember when I was single and just out there in the world, was prioritizing in my life, going to college and getting my master's degree. That was something that I wanted, but I was still in the church at that time. So then I remember hearing a lot of, oh, how come you're not married? How come you're not married? You're a smart, beautiful woman. How come you're not married? So then again, I was beginning to question, well, why am I not married? You know, I still held strong my belief that I was doing the right thing. But if I'm being honest, a little bit of self-doubt creeped in on whether or not something was wrong with me or there was something I could or should have been doing about not having the desire or prioritizing marriage in my life at that time. Mind you, I was in my mid to late 20s. And then finally, when I found someone, then it became, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? Mind you, I wanted to take my time intentionally in this relationship, something that me and my now husband decided to do. But we constantly got questions about when we were going to get married, especially once we reached past that 2-year mark. And then once we are married, then the question then becomes, now when are you going to have children? When are you going to have children? Without even regard for whether or not we desire to have children. So that brings to mind, I remember this one time I was at an event and I saw a friend. Well, I would say an associate rather. We both went to church together, and immediately she was already married and with children. I don't think I was even married at the time. I may have been just married, but I think I wasn't even married at the time, rather. Anyway, that to say, as soon as within like a few minutes of our conversations, immediately she started asking me questions about marriage and children. It's already this presumption that that was a desire for myself that I wanted just because I was a woman and just because I was in a relationship without even asking me what I desire or I want. It was just this presumption of, obviously I want this, I'm a woman. And she wasn't meaning it in any way. It was just, she was just trying to get to know me, trying to have a conversation with me. But of course I was taken aback because I haven't seen you in a long time, and immediately this was the conversation that she chose to have. So again, another area where self-doubt creeps up in our life is from our family dynamics. Our family dynamics and childhood upbringings within the home also contribute significantly to why we experience self-doubt in adulthood, and it can manifest in so many different ways, such as not receiving recognition for achievements or being shamed for specific actions. So another personal story I have, for instance, in my family, I was always the quote-unquote smart one in the family. I was just naturally inclined to academics. If I'm even being honest, my first few years of school wasn't even that great. I mean, I remember like being the slow one, the last to finish, taking my time during my first few years of elementary. But somewhere midway through, when it clicked, and that's when I began to excel. It became to a point where I was always celebrated in my family. Well, I wouldn't even say celebrated, but deemed in my family as like the good one, the smart one. And this led me to excessively be critical of myself and for fostering perfectionist tendencies, because I just had this idea, because that label was just placed on me. I just had this idea that I had to be perfect. I had to do good. I had to do the right things all the time. Not that I had any ill intentions or like this heart to do evil, but because it was a label that was placed on me, like my siblings always like teased me and made fun of me for that. And I've noticed, even though I was the middle child, most of the responsibilities was placed on me because I was just seen as the one that would that had it together. So it just kind of put this pressure on me to be perfect all the time. So again, what did this lead to? Me being overly critical of myself, always doubting myself because I just felt like nothing I did. I had this unrealistic expectation of perfectionism that I saw everything that I did as not good enough. And on the flip side to that, some individuals may struggle to achieve good grades or do well in school, regardless of putting in their best effort. And because we live in a merit-based society, that is overlooked, this overwhelming amount of pressure that is put on people to perform. And in certain family dynamics, if you're not performing a certain way in school, you could be shamed for that, you could be critiqued for that, and be made to feel inadequate, which can also contribute to feelings of self-doubt. So these are just examples that I'm giving to illustrate for you how ways in which our culture, family, society at large can shape our perceptions of ourselves and foster feelings of self-doubt. But of course, we see these things show up in other areas of our lives within society, that such as, like, for example, education. We take our education system, for instance, it heavily emphasizes, as I just said, an academic achievement in a merit-based system, which can lead to feelings of inadequacy for those who are not academically inclined. And I, of course, feel this because as an educator myself, many of you do not know, I'm an educator, and it's hard sometimes having conversations with parents when and having helping them to see their child for who they are and as an excellent whole human being and not evaluate their own child by a metric. You see this also, how self-doubt becomes a contributing factor through things we see in our media. That's another influential factor, particularly social media. And social media oftentimes portray an unrealistic sense of what everyday life looks like for certain people, where we think that people have this very picturesque, picture-perfect life. And when our life looks nothing like that, then we begin to have doubt or feelings creep in about, like, okay, what's going on in my life that I can't have my life set up like that every day? There's always this constant pressure to be perfect. Material possessions can create unrealistic standards of success and beauty. Again, further fuels self-doubt. There's also relationships, right? We also get this from our relationships. So this education, media, but even on a micro level within the relationships we had, even outside of our families, our personal experience, particularly in our day-to-day relationships, whether or not it's an intimate relationship that we have with a partner or a friendship relationship that we have, it can create, especially if it's a toxic one, one that wasn't healthy, one that wasn't helpful. We know of like people who go through relationships that have a certain level of toxicity where the dynamic is such that one is often being belittled, one is often made to feel ashamed or shameful, or even in certain friendship dynamics where there is mistreatment and mistrust has happened. These are different areas of our lives where we can experience self-doubt and we can experience trust that in a way that impacts us so deeply that as we move forward in our spiritual journey, as we move forward as a person, we carry it and we hold it with us. Understand that the interplay of these factors is crucial for you in seeking how to navigate and overcome self-doubt. Because by acknowledging these influences, you can work towards cultivating self-compassion, awareness, and build resilience and foster a more positive self-perception. So now let's talk about self-doubt and its impact on your spiritual growth. Now that I've hopefully shed some light on the various areas of your life where self-doubt can originate from or have originated from, I'm going to draw some connections for you on how self-doubt influences your spiritual growth. So self-doubt in the context of spiritual growth refers to the lack of confidence or belief in yourself, particularly in the matters related to your spiritual journey, your beliefs, and your practices. It is this pervasive feeling of uncertainty and questioning that can hinder the development of a deep, meaningful connection with your spirituality. So here is where it can hinder your spiritual growth. It can cause an internal struggle. You may experience if you were brought up with a traditional faith or certain set of spiritual values, but are now beginning to shift away from some of those beliefs that you were taught. This can be challenging as we try to release deeply ingrained traditional beliefs. So especially if you've been taught certain ideologies or perspectives were morally wrong or sinful. I've used LGBTQI example because that's a very strong one in a lot of religious circles. Still, even in our society as a whole, still, being who you innately are sexually, how you identify genderly, even if it's different from what you were assigned at birth, is seen as a morally sinful or wrong. So it's not just seeing it within yourself if you identify, but it's also seeing it within other people as morally wrong as well too, can cause an internal struggle. But there's, of course, many, many other examples. That was just how it caused an internal struggle if it hits on the area of identity for you. But sometimes it could just be a spiritual practice that you want to explore to expand yourself or to deepen your spiritual journey. So one thing right now, and I bring this topic up because recently there's like this campaign within the church to demonize spiritual practices that are outside of the Christian religion authority. And one of the I came across this post recently that was demonizing yoga, right? And talking about yoga as being demonic. You may even be that person that was curious about the health benefits of yoga. So you attended a class and had a profound spiritual experience that impacted you in a positive way, but began to question the validity of that experience after learning that. See, people see it as sinful, or you might hear a little chuckle in my voice because I think the idea is just kind of silly, that thinking. But it is a serious matter that is happening, that people are beginning to demonize practices that are outside of their own faith traditions. But again, here, you may be that person that after learning it, you may find that your spiritual community believe that yoga is sinful or evil or inherently demonic. So as a result, now you have developed a lot of fears about yoga. And this becomes an internal conflict because your personal experience of yoga may not align to what you're being taught. The many benefits you experience doesn't align to the idea that it is demonic, so you begin to doubt your own judgment. So the impact of this is the consequence of not being able to overcome that internal struggle. You have a constant sense of feeling disconnected within yourself. You feel a lack of intimacy with the divine, and now you have this inner turmoil that you are dealing with. Like, you begin to not trust yourself and your own judgment, even though everything in your experience is telling you that this is okay and this is right and this is good for you and you are having a positive experience. But because certain spiritual leader said that this was evil or wrong, you doubt yourself. So all this can lead to feelings of dissatisfaction within your current life circumstances and feeling uncomfortable with your spiritual journey or feeling like your spiritual growth is being stifled, which leads me to my next point, which is self-doubt can also cause stagnation and resistance in your spiritual journey because fear often arises when faced with decisions about progressing along your spiritual path. This might involve exploring, again, new practices or shifting a certain perspective or belief that no longer serves you. You might be in a place right now where you're trying to figure out if you should discard a certain theology that you believe is toxic, or you're working on unlearning harmful self-perceptions and spiritual ideologies, but you're having a hard time letting go because you feel like you have to believe it. That comes up, I feel, when it comes to the ideology of hell, for example. Some people would rather give up the idea of hell because it no longer fits into where they are right now in their spiritual journey. This idea of, like, what if hell is real? What if I'm wrong? Tends to keep them stuck and not wanting to move forward because of that overwhelming fear of what if hell is real. So even from my personal life, I remember going through this for a while, and then I thought the answer was to church hop. So I thought when I was experiencing stagnation in my spiritual journey, maybe I just need to try a different church. Maybe I need to just switch denomination. So I church hopped for a while, but no matter what church I went to, regardless of the denomination, I still felt spiritual stagnant because the fundamental beliefs of each of those church spaces was inherently the same. So I had to expand my wings beyond the Christian tradition and outside of the church walls to truly grow and expand my conscience. I had to be open to being able to listen, read, and learn from other spiritual perspectives outside of the Christian faith. Because if you think about it, the core basis of Christian beliefs or Christian tenets are the same no matter where you go. Well, at least for the overwhelming majority. So the impact of that is that growth is change. And if you have a resistance to change, then this can lead to stagnation on your spiritual development. This is when you begin to feel stuck on your spiritual journey. Self-doubt can also lead to impaired decision-making. This is when self-doubt causes you to make decisions against your own personal values because you have this belief that you don't have the ability to critically think for yourself. So you make decisions based on what you've been told or what you've been taught versus making decisions on what is in alignment with your truth. So I go back to the marriage example here because it's a situation that strongly resonates with me based on my own personal experience, right? And I've also witnessed this, the issue with marriage in a lot of church spaces. So this reminds me of certain cultural and societal circles where there's a strong emphasis on marrying by a certain age, for instance. Someone might have personal goals to pursue higher education or start a career and then consider marriage once they've achieved those milestones. However, in certain communities where marriage is expected at a young age, people may prioritize meeting this expectation over their own aspirations or goals. I know even though it might not be said in a lot of communities, it's just when you are in a space where everybody seems to be married young, and then as myself, when you start to hit a certain age and then everybody starts questioning, when are you going to get married? When are you getting married? You tend to feel that external pressure that might influence you to make decisions that you probably would not have otherwise made. And that's how self-doubt can lead to impaired decisions. And the impact of that is that you can end up someplace in life where you might be feeling stuck with the choice you've made or unhappy about it, or experience a sense of missed opportunity because you didn't make a certain choice you know you would have made if it wasn't for feeling pressured. And this matters in your spiritual journey because the learned theology or doctrines or spiritual ideologies that are informing your life choices. And when there's a lack of alignment between your personal values and spiritual principles, you can experience dissatisfaction in your life overall. So then by acknowledging where self-doubt negatively impacts your life, you can make intentional steps towards moving or building a transformative spiritual journey. So again, it's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to make that. I just want to make that clear here, rather. So it's important that we differentiate what is healthy skepticism from self-limiting doubt. Don't overly criticize yourself or excessively question where you're experiencing self-doubt. It's important just to be aware of it and not be consumed by it. So healthy skepticism is good. Healthy skepticism is critically evaluating your choices or circumstances without doubting yourself. It's okay to question things and carefully consider your life choices as long as it doesn't contradict your personal values, your principles, or beliefs, or lead you away from your truth. Questioning should not stem from fear or results in choices that you will make out of fear. The goal here is to transform your thinking so that you're moving from a place of self-doubt to a place of self-empowerment, so that you are empowered to make choices from a place that is in alignment with your purpose, so that you are empowered to make choices that cultivate your inner truth, choices that cultivate a positive sense of self, and choices that lead to spiritual growth. So what you can do now to help you is move from this place of self-doubt to self-empowerment. And luckily for you, I have a few strategies that you could try. So here are some practical strategies for overcoming self-doubt on your spiritual journey. First, you can cultivate self-awareness. You can do this by identifying patterns, triggers, and situations that give rise to self-doubt. Regularly check in with your thoughts and emotions to create a foundation for targeted intervention. So for example, things that you can do to help you to go along with that is to journal. When you journal, it helps you to focus on your own spiritual experiences. It helps you to gain connection and insights and certain personal revelations for where self-doubt is showing up for you. You may also want to review your journal or notes that you've taken as you go or move forward on your journey because it helps to illuminate patterns for you that you may have not realized before with where self-doubt is showing up for you in your life. And that's what's going to help you to find ways or think of ways to move past it. Another thing that you can also practice is mindfulness. And I encourage you to practice mindfulness on a regular basis as often as you can, because mindfulness helps you to be more in tune with yourself and in tune with your emotions. And as you become more in tune with yourself and your emotions and your bodily regulations, you become more aware instantly of when self-doubt creeps up in your life. Another strategy is to challenge your negative thoughts. By actively challenging your thoughts, or unwanted negative or unwanted thoughts that come up with you around self-doubt, you can begin to evaluate whether or not there is any grounding or supportive evidence for that thought to be there, and consider a more helpful or positive belief or thought that you want to have instead. You can also shift the conversations that you're having with yourself around self-doubt to a more positive way to talk to yourself to counteract these self-sabotaging beliefs. For example, where self-doubt might show up, using examples that I've given before, like academics, saying like, instead of saying things like I'm not good enough or I can't, you could say I'm working each day toward bettering myself, or one day I know I will overcome this. You know, whatever positive thing that you can tell yourself to replace that negative self-talk, that's where the power of affirmations come in. You could create affirmations rooted in spirituality. You can craft any spiritual words of affirmations that align with your beliefs and repeat them anytime these self-doubts come up for you, and infuse them with divine energy, reinforcing your connection to higher power. So whatever spiritual rituals you want to do in connection to these affirmations to help you feel more aligned to these thoughts, you could embed them here. Which leads to my next one, which is rituals for spiritual renewal, right? What rituals helps you to foster a sense of spiritual renewal? What practices can you engage in more often? Doesn't necessarily have to be on a daily basis, but it could just be when during periods of times where you are moving through self-doubt or where you're working on self-doubt. What can you do to help you ground yourself or anchor yourself in the divine? That could be something as simple as meditation, prayer, attending certain spiritual circles, listening to a podcast, reading a book about encouragement or a motivational book, listen to a motivational talk. What type of ritual can you incorporate into your daily life that will help you to move past self-doubt? And also to practice self-compassion. It's often an overlooked practice that, at least I believe, that we don't engage in. We often look for tools and rituals and things outside of ourselves instead of just giving ourselves that the love that we deserve. Treating yourself with the same kindness and understanding that you would wish to offer a friend facing the same challenges that you are facing. And just embracing imperfections as a part of the human experience, right? And fostering more compassionate relationship toward yourself. Hopefully these three quick tips, well, not necessarily quick, but these four helpful tips help you with overcoming doubt on your spiritual journey, which is to cultivate self-awareness, challenge any unwanted thought that's coming up, and create a ritual for spiritual renewal for yourself, and to practice self-compassion. I hope you were able to find some golden nuggets within this episode for yourself. One, hoping that this episode has illuminated in your life where you have experienced self-doubt or noticed self-doubt creeping up, or where it could have even started, if it started from some previous relationship or from something from your family background. And hopefully you have gained some tools that can help you to move past self-doubt. And again, if you need some support on this journey, if you just need someone to talk to, I'm always here for you. You can always book a free consult with me by going to soulfulrebellion.com/free consult. Even if it's just to have someone in your corner, even if by the end of it, we don't make the decision to work together, I just want to let you know that I am here for you. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Love a Soulful Rebellion podcast? Here are a few ways that you can support. You can write a raving review or leave a 5-star rating. Or you could share this episode with a friend. Instagram @asoulfulrebellion. Thanks again, and don't forget to subscribe so that you're notified as soon as the next episode is out.